David Booth, second violin and keyboard player.
And when did you first meet Maestro Savalas?
Well, when he first came here, first as a guest conductor. And I had a pretty unique relationship with him because I'm second violinist in the Worcester String Quartet, and he performed with us 10 times. And I also played piano four-hand things with him four times. So I had really a very close association with him, and it was really one of the greatest experiences I've had in my life and career.
What was it like to play chamber music with him?
Well, I mean, he was the guy was not a fine pianist. He was a great pianist. I mean, it was just astonishing. He really had a virtuoso technique, and how he kept that up through all of the conducting work that he did. I'll never forget that one of the first times the whole orchestra really heard him play, very early in his tenure here, there was a problem. There was some sort of a structural damage they discovered in the academy. And we moved down to the Forest Theater, I believe, for several, we were there for a few weeks of concerts. And one of the first things that we did, we had concerts and recording session with Emmanuel Ax, and he was doing the Strauss burlesque. And one time in the recording session, Savalas sat down at the piano and started playing the piano solo part to the burlesque, which, I mean, is a very difficult. It was absolutely astonishing. I'll never forget. Manny Ax just stood there with his mouth practically dropped to the floor. Also, people that he accompanied a lot. He did a great deal of work with singers. Elizabeth Schwarzkopf, one of the greatest singers and one of the greatest leader singers of all time, mentioned somebody in an interview, asked her who her favorite accompanist was, and she mentioned three, and Wolfgang Savalas was one of them. Always playing with him, I mean, he was just, he never tried to lord it over anybody or a group. I mean, he was just a wonderful, wonderful chamber music partner. One of the things I'll remember, he said quite a few times, he really loved to play piano, and he said, the conducting is my job, but playing the piano is what I love.
And did you get to know him in a different way because you were playing these small ensembles?
I think so. Yeah, we became quite friendly. I mean, he was really just a very charming, very kind person, very approachable. The conversation with him was always pretty much always on music. He was not the least bit interested in any kind of small talk. He was not interested in gossip, anything like that, orchestra politics. He was so focused on music. I've been here now 40 years, and I've encountered a lot of musicians. I would probably go so far as to say that Wolfgang Savalas is the most impressive single musician I've ever met. Just virtually everything that he did with the orchestra, the range of music that he did, he never made mistakes. I mean, it's astonishing. And the different styles of music, he did virtually everything well. Working with him, the rehearsals, they were literally learning experiences.
Well, I also understand he was very forward-looking in terms of playing new music, trying new things, internet concerts. Mm-hmm. He was interested in taking the orchestra forward.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anything that would, I think, bring the orchestra to greater publics, and also just the way of bringing music to a bigger public. That was his thing in life. That's what he loved most.
I'm Gloria De Pasquale, and I'm a cellist in the Philadelphia Orchestra. I joined the orchestra under Ormandy in 1977 in Ormandy's final years with the orchestra. So I met Savalas when he was guest conducting early on, before he actually became music director. And actually became quite close to him because of my husband's position in the orchestra at the time. He was mostly co-concert master under Savalas, but a large part of that time also we were in concert master search, so Bill was concert master. So we had the opportunity to become very close to Maestro Savalas both on and off stage.
What are your memories on stage and off?
On stage, he was an incredible presence. He was a very sophisticated and old world type of presence that commanded attention just by his posture, just by the slightest movement of a finger or a look. He could give incredibly deep looks that had layers of meaning. He was wonderful for the orchestra. We'd come out of a period where we had had a transition of our sound from the sort of lush, fat Ormandy sound to a more leaner, virtuosic, if you will, sound under Mucci. And as soon as Savalas came on the podium, we were back to that old world burnished gold Philadelphia sound. So that was a really wonderful thing for me to experience.
And what was he like off stage?
Off stage, he was a very kind, caring, and gentle soul, full of introspective insights to all different types of music and composers. And we had the wonderful opportunity to play chamber music with him several times, where he was a very fine pianist. And Bill, two of my most memorable concerts with Bill and Maestro Savalas were at Temple in Rock Hall, and also at Villanova University at St. Mary's Chapel, and they played sonata recitals. One they did all Brahms, and one they did Beethoven, Brahms, and Schumann. And after my husband Bill passed away, Maestro Savalas wrote me saying that for him too, those two particular programs were the height of music making in his whole career. And I was just really privileged to be part. I got to hear the rehearsals and, of course, their performances, and it was just absolutely transforming.
My name is Rich Harlow. I'm the fourth chair cellist, and I knew the maestro for the 10 years. Of course, he was music director, and also when he guest conducted us before then, his sense of humor was, of course, different than ours. Maybe because he was from Germany, and we're, of course, you know, our American kind of humor. It was kind of difficult to for him to understand some of our jokes. So we were doing a Bruckner symphony, and I got it in my head. I wanted to tell him my Bruckner joke. So I devised a method of approaching him. So after the rehearsal, I went up to him, and I asked him, Maestro, would you happen to be a member of the Bruckner Society? And he looks at me and he says, oh, yes, yes, yes. The Bruckner Society, the Mozart Society, Beethoven Society. And then he shrugs his shoulders, and I thought, ah, now I can tell him my joke. So I said, well, you know, at tonight's concert, the Bruckner Society is going to be in attendance. And he looks at me and says, oh? And I says, yes, they're both going to be sitting in the Presidium box over there. And he looks and he says, huh, huh, huh. So that was his way, I suppose, of saying, well, he liked the joke, I hope.
Right beneath the surface was an incredible warmth.
Oh, well, you could absolutely see that in his music making. It was everything to him. The depth and the profoundness that he did. In fact, we respected and we loved him his entire 10 years that was with us. He had a honeymoon for his entire time. And we loved him mostly for his deep knowledge and respect of the music, and we always saw that.
Someone described him as a musician's musician. What does that mean?
Oh yeah, musician's musician. I mean, it's like a Bach is a composer's composer. I mean, he was the best of the best, and we were just so fortunate to have it. Every time that he conducted us, I think we always enjoyed it and considered it to be a great blessing that he was our music director.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.